We are going to turn, please, in our Bibles to 1 John and the chapter 4. Normally, in the first Lord's Day of the new year, I preach on the motto text for the new year. And that is what I'm seeking to do both this morning and this afternoon, to set the new motto text before you, which is found in verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. But we're going to read the entire chapter together. 1 John 4, let us give attention to the word of God as it's read. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear is torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We'll end there, knowing the Lord will bless the reading of his precious truth. We'll seek the Lord's face briefly, please, in prayer. Let us cry to the Lord that he will come and minister to each of our hearts today. You pray that the Lord will have a fresh word for you. The Lord will come and minister unto you at the point of your need today. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee that thy word is forever settled in heaven. Thy word is true, thy word is truth. And Lord, we pray that as we consider these words that are before us, that we will know the help of God come and illuminate the words that are before us. Show us Christ and his love afresh. Give then that mighty needed help of the Spirit of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. There's no doubt that the year that has passed, 2020, was, among other things, a year of fear. There was much fear of coronavirus. There was fear of running out of toilet rolls, fear of restrictions, fear of loneliness, fear of isolation. It was, I believe, a year when the media fueled much of that fear, and deliberately so. We were continually bombarded with statistics and information with the desire to make us feel that we were facing the greatest crisis that the world has ever faced, the greatest crisis imaginable. But when we compare the so-called pandemic to past plagues, we realize that it wasn't everything, and it's not everything that the media would want us to believe that it is. When we think of the suffering that our nation endured in times past during the world wars and other great times of suffering, what has been endured in the past year has been slight. I don't say any of that to undermine the tragedy of the loss of life for those that have lost loved ones. That certainly has been an awful and a difficult time for those families. Nor do I intend to undermine the reality of anxiety or to undermine the struggles that some have endured as they've watched their businesses fall apart. So we're not to ignore any of that. But we are to have a realistic view. Matters are to be put into perspective. And there needs not only to be a call then to sound thinking and rational thinking, but there ought to be, over and above all of that, an exhortation to God's people not to live in fear. Not to live in fear. And how fitting then is our text for this morning and our motto text for this new year in verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. Now, I should say straight away that the meaning of our text, its first meaning, is not referring to a fear concerning coronavirus or any other type of catastrophe. The fear here, first and foremost, has to do with a fear of judgment. The fear here, first and foremost, has to do with living in the fear of death, or living in the fear of eternity. And perfect love casts out that fear. Scripture speaks of at least two types of fear. Certainly it speaks of these two main types of fear. First of all, there is what we call a reverential fear, a filial fear. And so there are times when in Scripture the fear of God is spoken of in a positive sense. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear there is something that is positive. It's something that's good. In fact, one of the problems with the world is, they lack that fear. Paul lamented in Romans 1, the fear of the Lord is not before their eyes. So they lack that fear of reverence. When we come to a meeting like this, we ought to come in this reverential fear. It ought to be our desire that nothing that would be done here would be offensive to a holy God, that we would come in brokenness and humility. The church today lacks that fear. It must ever be our desire that it would be restored and preserved in this congregation. Scripture not only speaks of this reverential or a filial fear, fear and love, but it speaks of a slavish fear, a tormenting fear. That is the fear of hell, the fear of judgment, a fear of justice. And that is the fear that the unconverted sinner should have. And it's that fear that the gospel has been given to deliver the sinner from. So the message of the Bible is the sinner should be afraid. The sinner should fear God's judgment. But then he is to be directed to the gospel to see deliverance from that fear. And so this is the fear that is primarily in view in these words that are before us. Perfect love casteth out fear. It's an apprehension of the gospel that casts out fear of death, fear of judgment, fear of hell, fear of eternity. And so we need to set our text in the context, and I want to do that very briefly here. If you could look with me in chapter 2 and verse 5. Chapter 2 and the verse 5, in our text it speaks of perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. So what is this perfect love? And John mentions this perfect love four times in the book. Chapter 2, verse 5, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. In him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. The love of God is perfected. Now, this is not saying that God's love needs to be improved. This verse is not teaching that God's love somehow has inferiorities in it and it needs to be improved. God's love is perfect. It's unceasing. It is immeasurable. In that sense, it is perfect always. Verse 5, chapter 2, verse 5, is talking about the life of the Christian, that we are growing in obedience. Verse 3, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And so as the Christian is maturing, we are to be maturing in obedience. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And so, if you want to avoid knowing more of the love of God, then live in disobedience. If you want to struggle in your Christian life, if you want to be full of doubt, if you want this question to continually hang over you, am I really a child of God? Then be disobedient. That is the way to grow in questioning of God's love to you. But I trust that that's not your desire today. What John is talking about in verse 5 is growing in apprehension, growing in understanding of God's love. And God's love is being perfected then in the sense that I am understanding it more. I am grasping it more. And how am I to do this? We are to keep his commandments. Chapter 4, verse 12 then. Chapter 4, verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. That is, we haven't seen his actual essence. Christ, of course, was the manifestation of God. But the actual deity of God, no man has seen. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And his love is perfected in us. And again, here we see this idea of love being perfected. And again, it's not talking about God's love being improved. It has the idea, I believe, that the longer we go on with God, the more his love is enjoyed by us. And so God's love is perfected in us in the sense that as we go on in our Christian lives, God's dealings with us are manifesting more of his love. The longer I go on with God and I look back at God's dealings with me, I can trace the hand of God. I see his love. His love is being perfected in me. That's what John is saying here. Then verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. Herein is our love made perfect, that we have made boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, verse 17 isn't an easy verse to translate, and most likely the way it's translated in the Authorized Version here at the beginning of the verse is not the best translation. If you have a margin in your Bible, the margin will probably show that to be the case. Herein is our love. It rather has the sense, here is love made perfect with us. So it's not so much our actual love being made perfect here, although the word perfect has this idea of maturing, and our love is to be maturing. But the idea is that herein is love made perfect through us. It's this same idea that John has been setting forth. That God's love is being demonstrated to us, and more we are grasping that love. We are apprehending, we are understanding something of God's love. And if we understand God's love, then we have boldness in the day of judgment. That is, if I really grasp hold of the truth of Christ's love, I am not living in fear of the day of judgment. And on that day of judgment, I won't need to stand in fear. Because as I've experienced God's love, as it says there at the end of verse 17, as he is, so are we in this world. And God willing, I'll come back to those great words in a moment or two. So we come then to our text, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And this perfect love, then, in light of all that I've shown you, is this growing understanding in us of God's love. And the word perfect, then, has this idea of maturing. Our understanding is maturing. Our grasp, I trust, of God's love is increasing. And the more I grasp of God's love, the more fear is cast out. Because fear, as our text says, is tormenting. If you live in your Christian life in doubt, you'll know that this is true. The one who professes the Lord's name but continually lives with this sense, am I really, truly a child of God? It's torture. It's torment. And God willing, I'll come back more to look at that this evening. But here John is saying, that's not living the Christian life. The one who has been truly converted is to be led to this understanding that he is truly converted. And as he grasps hold of that and is relying not so much in his love of God, but the love of God toward him, that perfect love casts out fear. It drives away our law fears, if we put it like that. But as these law fears are driven away, our other fears are to be driven away also. And really what I want to convey to you today is this, that we are to live the gospel. The gospel isn't just something for the day of our conversion. The gospel is practical. And we are to live it every day. And as we get hold of this text in its actual first meaning, it's casting out these fears of hell, legal fears and so on. If we grasp that, then we're enabled to cast out the other fears as well. I don't need to live in fear of coronavirus or any other illness, because I don't live in fear of death at all. I don't need to live in fear of coronavirus or any other sickness, because suffering, if it comes, is not by accident. It's in the perfect plan of God. I don't need to fear financial ruin, because my eternal need is met. I don't need to fear government coercion, because the more that comes, the more we see of it, the more we are to recognize that that is still in the sovereign hand of God. And because the sovereign God has dealt with the matter of our eternity, I can trust him for the few days that he gives me to live here on the earth. Now, no way am I suggesting that we take this text then and hide under our pillow. No, we face these fears. And in this year that is before us, perhaps there are matters that will become very real to us. Who knows? But whether these fears are real or perceived, we hit them face on, as it were, with the gospel. And we don't need to fear. Therefore, we don't divorce the gospel from our daily lives. The gospel is to be at work in us. And I have entitled the message then today, The Triumph of Love. The triumph of love, fear cast out. And I want us to consider really what the Christian life is. And I trust that it will be simple. What is it to live the life of a Christian? So you've professed the Lord's name. You've come to the Lord and asked the Lord to have mercy upon your soul. What does it mean now for you to live as a Christian? I want to seek to answer that question in light of our text. First of all, the Christian life is about learning. The Christian life is about learning. As I've mentioned already, this word in verse 18, perfect, has the idea of maturity. So the Bible does not teach sinless perfection this side of eternity. Thank God there will be sinless perfection in eternity. The reality for the Christian is the more that we are maturing, the more that we are knowing this perfection that's talked about in the verse, the more we actually feel ourselves to be sinful. So the more holy we become, the more we feel that we're actually full of sin. And so for someone to say, I'm so holy, I've not committed sin in the past number of weeks or the past number of months. Well, they're not growing more holy, because if they're growing more holy, they would sense more and more their need of the Lord, that they're not as holy as they ought to be. Hebrews 6 verse 1, there's a great call there. Let us go on to perfection. And it's not saying, although of course we desire to be sinlessly perfect, it's not saying that we're to step into this sinless perfection. Rather, it's let us go on to maturity. Let us not stay as spiritual babies. Let us not stay in nappies. Let us not stay in spiritual kindergarten. But we need to get, as it were, into the spiritual university. The Christian life is about learning. And as I sought to establish the context of these words, I was seeking to show you that the whole life of the Christian is about this understanding. Understanding. So there's revelation. We come to God's word and truth is revealed. There's revelation. But then there's to be realization that I try to understand the thing that is being taught in God's word. And then there's reflection. I meditate over the thing that I am learning in the word of God. If we want to deal with fear, there's one thing that we are to concentrate on very especially, and it's the theme of God's love to us. John says, focus on it, because perfect love casts out fear. If you could turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and this is really what Paul is praying for the Ephesians, the very thing that John is telling us we need. Paul prayed it for the church in Ephesus and himself. Ephesians chapter 3, and the words in the latter part of this chapter are a prayer. In verse 17, Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And so he is praying that Christ would dwell in the hearts of these believers by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And so Paul is praying for these Christians that they would not remain as in the day of their conversion with a small view of the love of God, but it would be growing, that they would see more of the breadth, length, the depth and height of the love of Christ. That it would not just be something they know in their head, but they would know that love, thereby that they would be filled with all the fullness of God. You are to pray that prayer over yourself and over your fellow believers. And as we take this motto text for 2021, let us pray daily, Lord, give us a greater sense, a greater understanding of love. You see, as we come to this new year and we desire to cast out fear, this perfect love casting out fear is not... Our fear is cast out because we live in Western Australia and we haven't really suffered as other parts of the world. Our fear is not cast out by saying, and God has loved me so much that I didn't get the virus. Or God has loved me so much that I didn't lose my job. Or my family were able to be together over the holidays. That's not what John is saying at all, no. In fact, when we understand what John is saying, even if we did lose our job, even if we all lost our health, even if government coercion is what we fear it may become, we still do not need to fear. Because it's this apprehension of God's love that drives out the fear. You see, it starts and ends with the cross. It starts and ends with the gospel. And if you look with me again then at verse 17, and if you forget everything I say today, I trust that you will really get hold of what John is saying in this verse. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. As he is, that is, as Christ is, so are we in this world. What can that mean? Christ is so worthy. Christ is so exalted. We are so unworthy. How can John say, as Christ is, so are we, even now, in this world? It's all about our standing, as the standing of Christ is. So is our standing right now in this world. Now, it's not in the eyes of the world. It's nothing to do with the eyes of the world. But it's in the eyes of God. That's what's the important matter. In other words, as the Father sees the Son, that is how he sees those that are in the Son. Really, John is expressing the greatness of our union with Christ. If you struggle with assurance, here really is the answer. If you're united to Christ, you must be brought to see the greatness of that union with Christ. As he is, so are we in this world. How is Jesus before the Father? Jesus Christ is accepted. We who are believers are accepted in him. Jesus Christ today is received in heaven as righteous, perfect, just. We are justified. We are received as those that have been declared to be righteous. The Son is declared to be the Father's. As the Father declares the Son is his, we who are in the Son are declared to be his then also. As he is, so are we in the world. If you're here today and you're not a believer, I trust that this will show you your need. Because all that Christ is, you're not today. If you're without Christ, your standing is in the first Adam. One that's cast out. One that's separated. One that's lost. But for the one that's brought into Christ, we can say his obedience is mine. His death is mine. His resurrection is mine. His victory is mine. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. All that Christ is the standing of the believer. And it's in that light then that John says in verse 17, we have boldness in the day of judgment, as John still lived in this world. Remember how he said at the beginning of the passage, Antichrist is operating in this world. But even though Antichrist was operating, John was still living in this world. John was casting out fear. Because perfect love has boldness in the day of judgment. Wesley said, bold shall I stand in that great day. For who ought to my charge shall lay? Fully absolved through these I am from sin and fear and guilt and shame. And in the first verse of that hymn, he tells us why he could stand boldly. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness my beauty are, my glorious dress. I take Christ. I stand in him. And since that is the meaning of the words of our text, perfect love casts out fear, I don't need to live in fear of hell. I don't need to live in fear of judgment. John's argument then is really from the greater to the lesser. If I don't need to fear hell, if I don't need to fear the day of judgment, I don't need to fear anything. If I don't need to fear the greatest enemy, what enemy do need I fear? That was Paul's argument in Romans 8. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? If God gives us salvation, do you think that he's not going to give us the other things, the little things that we need? Therefore, our prayer that arises out of this text is, let me know more. Let me learn more of his love. But I want to move on then and see, secondly, the Christian life is about freedom. The Christian life is about freedom. In verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Fear is torment. Fear brings into bondage. The writer to the Hebrews talked about that in Hebrews chapter 2, that Christ, as he came, taking flesh, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them, Hebrews 2:15, deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. To live a life in fear of eternity is to live a life of bondage. Christ came to deliver us from that type of bondage. There is bondage and sin. And the message of the gospel is one of liberty. That's one of the great things of the book of Galatians. There is liberty. There is freedom for the Christian. And here is one aspect of freedom. Fears are cast out. Now, we are surrounded in these times in the evangelical world by a very strange doctrine that says the Christian life is one of freedom. Freedom to live whatever way I want. So the teaching is something like this. We are saved by grace, and so we can be free to live as we please. Let me have my sin. Let no one ever question me concerning my sin, because I am under grace. You'll never find that in the New Testament. Now, I know that is the prevalent teaching of today, but it is not biblical in any sense. The New Testament teaches the transformed life. Freedom is not a freedom to sin, but it's a freedom to be delivered from the bondage of sin. Now, there are others in the other extreme, and they see that the Christian life is to be one of holiness, and they're right in that. And they try to do it in their own strength. And so it's as if they come to all the commands in the New Testament and they say, this year I must try my best to do it. And if at the end of the week they look back and they say, well, I've ticked lots of boxes this week. God must be pleased with me this week. But next week when they feel utterly, oh, God can't be too happy with me this week. It's a different form of legalism. That is bondage as well. So what is the teaching of the New Testament? Well, here we find in our text that fear and love are incompatible. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Now, while I say they're incompatible, that doesn't mean we don't have both of them. We do. If you're a Christian, you experience fears, and yet you also live, I trust, in the enjoyment of the love of God. But they are mutually exclusive. That is, the more that one reigns, the more the other suffers. And what John is arguing is, the more that the love of Christ fills and thrills our souls, the more the fears are driven out, the more the fears are cast out. And so it's this whole subject of the conflict that the Christian knows. How can we know victory? Victory in the Christian life is not saying, I'm saved by grace, and so it doesn't matter what I do because there's always grace, and I gloat that I'm not a legalist. Victory in the life of the Christian is focusing on Christ, who is the victor. And by seeing him, we are enabled unto victory. And maybe to use an illustration, if there's some book or some movie and you research it, and you find all the bad things out about that book and that movie, and you say, therefore, I'm not going to have anything to do with that. That's good. But better that the love of Christ would so thrill you that as you see Christ, that's how you see all the problems with it, and you cast it away gladly. You don't cast it away relenting that you have to do it, but you cast it away gladly. Because you delight so much in Christ. Here is the freedom. Romans 8:13, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. The more we see God's love, the more we will live this life of holiness that is perfectly compatible, in fact, the outworking of freedom, free from sin. The Christian life is about learning. The Christian life is about freedom. Finally, and very quickly, the Christian life is about boldness. Boldness. As John talks here in our text about perfect love casting out fear, the fear is torment. It brings us right back to the word that he uses in verse 17, boldness. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And I sought to show you that boldness is not just future, but it's actually present as well. As he is, so are we in the world. There's boldness now. We can stand before our greatest enemy, the law. We stand with boldness in Christ. In the Christian life, we meet many enemies. The fear of man bringeth a snare. That's an enemy. Fears over our future. That's an enemy. But we are to face these enemies with boldness. After Paul's conversion, he preached the gospel boldly in Damascus. And through the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we come across this word continually. They preached with boldness. Paul's prayer request in Ephesians 6:20 was that he might speak boldly as he ought to speak. If we know this maturing love, we will have boldness. Isn't that something that we often lack, if we're honest? We get those opportunities to speak for the Lord, but our fears overcome us. We're crippled. We face various trials, and we know words like this that we're not to fear, and yet so quickly we are full of fear. We don't face the trial with the boldness that we should. John is saying, we need to sense more of God's love. Every day we come to God's word, we ought to be praying, oh Lord, show me more of thy love today. And as I sense all that he did for me, all that he is presently for me, why should I fear what others would say when I speak for God? Why should I fear the mockery? Why should I fear the consequences of words that are spoken to the glory of God? Fears are to be cast out. I trust today that you will see Christ, that you will see all the work that he has done for you in Calvary's cross, the great evidence of it in his resurrection and ascension. May the Lord help us in this year to cast out the fears. Perfect love casteth out fear. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts. We'll bow together, please, in prayer. Our time is gone, so we'll not have the hymn at this particular stage. But in a moment or two, I'll go to the door for those that leave. I trust that you'll be able to stay as we meet around the Lord's table. But today, in the closing moments of this part of the meeting, let us each pray, Lord, come and touch my heart in this year. We can even lament and confess how fears have governed us in the year that has passed, but thank God that there's mercy afresh. What a wonderful gospel. We can go on then and face a new year in the will of God. Our gracious Father, take thy word, we pray. Write it upon every heart. Lord, we do pray that thy holy truth will truly take a hold of us. We pray that we will be enabled to, in this year, see our fears cast out. And Lord, that we will overcome through Christ, the great victor. Draw near to us as we come to the table. Lord, we pray that we will be enabled to feast afresh on our Savior. Reveal Christ and his cross afresh to us. In our Lord's name we pray.